Hello, and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances. I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode 175, the Pattern Spectrum episode. That is a title you'll understand when you get to the Quilt Diaries. I am working on a 10-day schedule, I've decided. I want to post Monday, and then 10 days later on Wednesday, and then 10 days later on Monday. We're going to try this. It's Wednesday. Did I say that? That it's Wednesday, November 18th. And I'm already thinking, oh boy, am I going to get this posted tonight? I don't know, but if I don't, I'll get it posted first thing in the morning. I promise. I want to thank everybody who commented on last week's episode, on the last episode. I appreciate so much you taking the time to come over to the offkilterquilt.wordpress.com and comment, or shoot me an email at fdowell@nc.rr.com. I want to say thanks. A lot of people were so kind about Carrie's wedding quilt and had nice things to say. And in fact, several people chose to comment on Carrie's quilt before actually listening to the podcast, which is absolutely fine by me. I just love hearing from you. I want to say thanks to Laura, to Liz, to Barbara. Say thanks to Carrie and Kate at Kate at Quilting Daydreams. I want to say thanks to Lynn D and NC. She wanted to know if Jack is looking at Davidson College. I think I mentioned last week that Jack and the man went to take a tour of Davidson, and the answer is yes. So Lynn, I'll let you know if we come down that way to look around some more, or if Jack ends up there and we could get together. I want to say thanks to Vivian, who actually posted two very interesting comments. One includes a link to an article about how much fabric designers get paid. So go to the Off Kilter Quilt site to link to that. And also talking about how quilters' interests have changed over the years. She referred to an episode of either the quilt, she wasn't sure if it was the Quilt Show or Pat Sloan's podcast. Someone said, and I'm quoting now, Vivian, how the quilters of the 70s and 80s were into being knowledgeable about the quilt blocks by site or name, and people considered expert in specific quilt styles like Baltimore album or technique or skill like hand applique or quilting. Those of the 80s and 90s, and I'd add the early 2000s when Vivian started quilting, were into specific quilt and tool designers / makers, the beginning of having quilt industry stars. Now, maybe since about 2010, the big focus is on fabric lines and their designers. So I thought that was interesting, particularly the idea of being into specific quilt designers and tool designers. That's not something I had thought about. And it's funny because probably because to some extent, tools are not a huge part of my repertoire. I use the basics, of course, have a rotary cutter, have a number of rulers, most of them, OmniGrid or Creative Grids, but not fancy. I don't have a lot of specialty rulers. That's another question I would throw out there to you. I think I asked some questions in some of the Quilt Diaries. What is the most esoteric and useful specialty ruler that you have? What would you recommend? So anyway, thank you, Vivian, for those very interesting comments. Okay, and then finally, I want to thank Angela and AJ Dub, who brought up an issue that I took over to Facebook about what I use in my potholders. And I use Inselbrite, which is, turns out AJ Dub does too, but it sounds like after our interesting conversation over on Twilters that maybe she was just using one layer of Inselbrite. I use two. I have in the past used two with a regular piece of cotton batting in between. Because I am fooling around with free motion quilting when I quilt the pot holders, it was hard to do that through three layers. Whereas Zena uses all three layers, two of Inselbrite, the cotton layer in between, but she uses a walking foot. to quilt, so that makes sense. I should say, by the way, my mom sent me a great picture of a wall hanging that she just quilted using techniques she learned in Jackie Gehring's Craftsy class on quilting with your walking foot. And I got an email today from Craftsy saying that they had classes on sale for $14.99, and one of those was the Jackie Gehring class, so I bought it. And I feel so happy, because this weekend, this past weekend, or they had the Craftsy had up to 50% off of a lot of classes, including the Jackie Gehring. But the time the Jackie Gehring class was $29.99, and I thought, well, I'm gonna wait on that, and maybe I'll get someone to gift it to me for Christmas or something. So, but when I saw it today at $14.99, I thought, I'll get that, even though I do have a quote unquote moratorium on buying new Craftsy classes. That was a pretty good deal, and I think I will actually take the class and watch it. So anyway, my mom recommends that class highly, and I will let you know whether I do or not. Okay, well, I want to say again, thank you to everyone for taking the time to comment. I love your comments. Please keep them coming. And by the by, if you want to get on the Twilters Facebook page, let me know and I will get you signed up. It's a good conversation, all sorts of different things going on, and it's a lot of fun. So if you want to be part of that community, just raise your hand and say, let me in, and we'll get you in there. Okay, then, on with the Quilt Diaries. Quilt Diary Day 1. It is Wednesday, November 11th. Happy Veterans Day. I'm sitting here on the couch with Travis. I have about 20 minutes before I need to go pick up Will. So I thought I'd talk to you. I don't know if I'll talk that whole time. I'm trying to work on this idea of doing slightly shorter podcasts, say 45 minutes, and posting every 10 days. That should give everyone enough time to comment on the most recent podcast before the next one goes up. You know, I love your comments. So I'm trying to help you out, and it's good for me to be on a schedule. We'll think about it. We'll see what happens. I wanted to talk about a book, but first, let me tell you, I just got back from Hancock's. Do they have Hancock's where you are? The Hancock's where I am actually seemed to me, it used to be a little bit nicer than Joann's, and now it's a little bit worse, and I don't know if that's because they've been remodeling the Joann's where I go. I don't know if that's because just I went in today and the whole staff seemed to have colds, which I assume is just a hazard of working in a store. I know it's a hazard of working in an office from a long time ago when I worked in an office, that one person got a cold and the whole room got a cold. There's something about that, going into a messy store with a lot of, excuse my French, but crappy stuff. Like, they've got, of course, the Christmas decorations out, and you know, they're selling these scissor packs. I can't remember. It's like got some special name. Well, you know, and they were pushing it. And the people that work there are sales. You know, the woman who's cutting my fabric, she's like, "Well, we've got these special Lucite titanium scissors. It's three pack for $9.99." And you know, and you find your like inner snob coming out, going, "Are you really? Are you kidding me?" But anyway, so yeah. Yeah, but I will say they carry the refill bottles of Mary Ellen's Best Press, and their notions, their quilting notions, are better. I mean, they're just, their supply is much better than at Joann's. And in fact, I don't think I told you this, but I broke my 24-inch ruler. You want to know how? That's right. I sat on it, and it was like, you know, I guess maybe 6 inches were hanging off the chair, so I sat and it just cracked. Don't do that. Quilter's tip number one for today's quilt diary: don't sit on your ruler, because they do break. So anyway, and Joann's didn't, I went to look for one at Joann's a couple weeks ago and they did not have it, but they had it at Hancock's, and it was a 40% off, which was nice. So OmniGrid. So that was good. So that made me happy. But the whole general feel of the store is, I felt like everyone who worked there, as well as everyone who was shopping there, was sick. So I like came home and immediately like washed my hands for 5 minutes. And yeah, just had that messy kind of this place is going down feel. So I don't know what Hancock's is like where you are. That's where it's like where I am. So it's and I wish I could just make myself get everything at Thimble Pleasures, but I do buy a lot of fabric there, and that so they get all my fabric money. But I just when it comes to notions, I can get the notions a lot cheaper elsewhere. But I'm sure if you work at a fabric store, an independent quilt shop, you might be thinking, yeah, but we need your notions money too. I know. I know. Just my inner cheapskate has a really hard time spending money. But I did get my Mary Ellen's Best Press refill, the lavender scented. Ah, love it. Got a new ruler. Also got some spray based. This is Dritz. I hope it works. I'm making some more pot holders with this idea of making some pot holders for Christmas presents, just, with friends who exchange presents. I don't have a lot of it's like my very close friends and I don't exchange presents, so it's actually people who are more outer orbit. But who doesn't like a good pot holder? I love one. I think I was talking about the beauty of getting some beautiful pot holders last year, which I never use, but it's so nice to have them. And I've made two pot holders for me, and I'm working on a third. And I just have to put the binding on. And then I looked at modern pot holder, and there are lots of neat things online. And a really nice tutorial, if I think about it, I will link to it. I will do my best. But this woman who did the pattern, spray based the pot holders before quilting. And I'm a safety pin baster from way back on my big quilts. There's one quilt. Oh, I know when I did the Ann Peterson quilting class on Craftsy and she spray based. Oh man, that means somewhere I have some spray based. Dag. I'm making that connection right now, ladies. Somewhere I've got some. I forgot about that. I knew I'd done it once before. I'll have to go find it. Because this, and the reason is like if it were $3 a bottle, I'd be like, oh, okay. But it's not. It's so expensive. It also is just like, you have to do it out in the garage. And yeah, that was quite a, kind of a glue sniffing kind of experience. So yeah. So I did that for the Ann Peterson quilt. I was just trying to follow all her instructions, and it was fine, but I just assumed safety pin. It doesn't bother me to do it. But with pot holders, they're so small that it is actually kind of a pain. It's not a pain to base them, but it's a pain when you're quilting them. So I thought, well, this is kind of a neat idea. That makes more sense with the pot holders to spray base them, and it's such a small amount of spray basing that I could just go out on the porch and do it instead of having to, go out on into the garage. So unfortunately, it was on sale. So Dritz spray based, and it was $10 on sale. So yeah, I was shocked when I was looking at the notions, like all these, they were big cans of spray based, and they're like $18. I was like, good grief, buy. It's like, and that's my cheapskate side. It's like, but I could pin based for free. So why would I do that? But when I saw that the Dritz spray was on sale, I'm like, well, I'll try it because that actually could be very handy. So I will show pictures. I know pot holder pictures. It's so exciting. I know you're just racing over to the website. Like, I have to look up the pot holders. Oh, what has she done now? Anyway, so that was my adventure at Hancock's, but I need to move on because I do have to go get my child. My older child is swimming today. And last Friday it was quite a thrill because a friend from the swim team gave him a ride home. They take a bus. The school does not have a pool, so they take a bus to a community park and swim there. And then the bus brings them back, actually not to the high school but to the middle school, which is great because that's only a few minutes away from here. But last time he got a friend to give him a ride on Friday, a friend gave him a ride home, and it was so nice. I'm like, oh, please offer again, or maybe I should just call this friend and say, I'll give you $10 a week gas money if you will just bring my child home 3 times a week. Yeah, it's getting to that. All right, Quilt Local. I want to talk about Quilt Local, which is a new book by Heather Jones with a foreword by Denise Schmidt. It is a beautiful book. Let me give you the whole title, Quilt Local, Finding Inspiration in the Everyday with 40 Projects. You should know some of those are pillows. It is published by STC Craft. It's a Melanie Falick book. I hope I'm saying that correct. It is a beautiful book. It really is. Heather Jones, you may be familiar with her. She is a modern quilter. Her thing is color. My mom and I, when we went to that AQS show in Cincinnati, which was maybe, that may have been 2.5 years ago, we took a class with Heather. It was a color class. I was just playing with color, and it was fun. I'd have to go back and review. I did a podcast with my mom and see what we thought about the class. I have fond feelings about it 2.5 years later, so it must have been okay. And certainly Heather was lovely. So, but you know, she's very into color theory. She, and also finding inspiration all around you for quilt design if you're designing quilts. And you know, if you're a modern quilter, I think it almost by necessity makes you a designer. Now, you know me, I'm a modern traditionalist, but I am interested in modern quilts. I do like modern quilts, and I'm interested in seeing how modern quilts are evolving. In any event, you know, but if you're going to make, to an extent, I think there's a lot of improv involved in modern quilts. I don't know. I mean, to some extent, at some point, you have to figure out what to do yourself. Although that brings me to another issue here with, not with Heather. I have no issues with Heather. I think she's lovely, and I really like her quilts a lot. You know, she's very into color theory. She was an art history major undergraduate, also did a degree in art history as a graduate student. She's under the influence of Joseph Albers, who was a, I believe, German painter who published a very influential book on color theory in the early 60s. And so she talks a lot about color, is interested in color and color play, and she uses color beautifully. She writes a good bit in this. One of the things I like about this book, and by the way, it's on Amazon. It's not that expensive. It's like $16 on Amazon, and it is a hardback. And again, it's a beautifully done book, and the photography is lovely. But she's talking about getting inspiration from just looking around you and local sources. And you know, she, one of the neat things with the quilt projects is that she shows you not only the finished quilt, but also the photograph that she took that inspired, well, not the photograph didn't inspire the quilt, but whatever it is that inspired the quilt that she photographed. She has a quilt called Dayton, and it looks like the photograph is a picture of a wall. I think it must be outside a church, and there's a cross. And so her quilt is just it's really a foreshortened cross. So instead of the vertical line being longer than the horizontal line, they're both the same length. It's white against a tangerine orange. The white cross is on the lower left-hand side, and it's the what makes the quilt is this very intense, saturated tangerine. The quilt itself looks like it would not take very long, but I don't think the point of these quilts is being simple or complex, it's the visual impact of the quilt. But anyway, so it's neat to be able to see what she was looking at when she came up with her design. So that's a really nice element. Now, of course, I have not tried to make these quilts yet. I just got the book, and I have just been enjoying looking at it. But it is one of those things that's interesting to me, and I will continue to ponder this in the same way I'm pondering Victoria Finley Wolfe's double wedding ring quilts, which I absolutely love, but are so idiosyncratic in design that it feels odd. You know, I was thinking about these quilts that I've been making from Kim Brackett's, I think it's more scrap basket quilts. She has obviously a scrap basket quilts and then I think two or three other volumes. And I love her quilts. I love her designs. But her designs are not, I'm not sure I would look at a quilt and say, oh, that's the Kim Brackett quilt. In the same way that you would look at a quilt and say, oh, I think Victoria Finley Wolfe made that quilt, or very strong, or her work is the inspiration behind that quilt, because she has such a singular vision and a singular style. I think that Heather Jones is not as idiosyncratic. She's coming out of a modern design tradition, if we can use the word tradition with modern, but her aesthetic is minimalist. Her quilts are clearly modern, and they, well, I don't know that they scream, "Oh, that's clearly a Heather Jones quilt," but they are in their way, singular quilts. I don't know. I'm looking at some of them. It's interesting to me because I just feel like I don't think twice, like opening up a Kim Brackett book and going, "Oh, I really like that quilt. I want to make it." And I don't feel like, but I'm just copying Kim Brackett's style. Whereas with Victoria Finlay Wolfe, I may very well try to make one of her quilts. I think they're very cool, and the fact is, I could not afford an original Victoria Finlay Wolfe quilt. So if I want anything like that in my house, I'm gonna have to make my own. But it would clearly be copying her style. Now, Heather Jones, it's a little that's a little murkier, but some of these quilts, they're just singular, right? They don't, and I think we should say they don't come out of a long tradition. They're not a play on tradition. It's somebody's idea for design, and isn't this cool? And it does look cool. I don't know if I'm explaining myself very well, but it's funny to me. And I think too, I mean, it's even though this book is called Quilt Local, it's very much a Heather Jones book. And that's a very different title than Scrap Basket Quilts in some ways. Or maybe I'm just saying that Scrap Basket Quilts isn't about Kim Brackett, whereas Quilt Local to some extent is about Heather Jones, or at least Heather Jones's vision, her ideas about color, what have you. So there's a, and maybe that's just part of the modern thing, and getting back to what I've talked about on and off for a few months now is this idea of younger quilters and modern quilters and being very connected to who's behind the quilts, who's behind the design, who's behind the fabric, and knowing who Tula Pink is and who Amy Butler is and who Kay Fassett is. Being me, it's like that's about it for me in terms of fabric designers, but people do know, or maybe those are the only ones people know. So yeah, so anyway, I'm still sorting this stuff out. And there certainly are quilts in here that I might make. I think there are many quilts that I really like to look at. I think as a maker of quilts, they would not be that interesting to make. They would be interesting to have. So that's a question too. What are you, when you pick out a quilt pattern, this is a question for you. That's right, you listening right now. What do you think when you're looking at a pattern? Is it, are you looking at, oh, I like the way this quilt looks, and it looks like it would be fun to make? I guess is the making, is the process part of your decision? Obviously, if we look, so some quilts we look at it and it's like, I really like how that quilt looks. It look, but I don't think I have the skills to make it. So that's one question. But looking at a quilt that clearly you do have the skills, that doesn't take any special skills to make, but you really like the design. Do you look at it and go, yeah, I like the design, but actually, I don't think it would be that much fun to work on? Is that part of your selection process? Because I kind of think with these quilts, now, what I would say about these quilts is one, aesthetically, I find them appealing. The construction of the quilts, for the most part, it does not seem very interesting to me. But the negative space for quilting does seem really interesting to me. So I think that's why I would choose one of these quilts to have that space to work on, to essentially create a canvas, a large canvas for me to work on machine quilting. And also, again, because I like the way the quilts look, but the making of the quilts in here, I'm just like, no, that's just not all that interesting. So, but I do like this book. If you are interested in modern quilts, if you're interested in thinking about color and color theory, also if you're interested in designing modern quilts, I think this would be a good book because she does talk about her process and how she looks at the world. And I have found walking around since I read this book a couple of days ago, and walking around, and you do, it does make your eye, it just makes you look at things going, huh, would that make a quilt? In fact, the next day, and if I think about it, I'll post this on the show notes. The day after I was reading this, there was a really neat picture in the newspaper. Often on page three, they have pictures that people send in, through your lens or something. And it was a color picture, but it was someone, a runner, wearing red at the top of a staircase. I don't know if I'm gonna be able to describe this very well. I really should just put the picture. But on either side, it was what you saw was, you saw the runner up the staircase, maybe about two-thirds of the way up, and on either side you saw these brick walls, and it was brown and yellow bricks, and you could really see the bricks, or maybe stone, whatever it is. It was just really design-wise, I was like, oh yeah, that would make a cool quilt. And partly what made it was the color, that very small spot of color of the whatever the runner was wearing as he was going up the steps. So now I'm going to look at the picture. It's like, no, that's actually not it at all. What I just described to you does not describe this picture, but it kind of sort of does. So that's neat. I mean, I do like that. I mean, I think I mentioned a week or so ago, or an episode or so ago, that I just finished the new Patti Smith book, which I loved, M Train. And it's she's an artist, and she looks at the world like an artist. And when you read things like that, then you start going around looking at the world like an artist and a poet and noticing things, which makes life, I think, rather enjoyable. Now, whether or not I'm going to design quilts, I feel, I feel the urge, I feel the interest, but I also should say that I just got a kit from Connecting Threads. For a table runner. It's a red and white, it has white stars, so it's a Christmassy looking table runner. So it, and it's just the kit is the pattern and the fabric cuts. So it's like I didn't design that quilt. So I get a lot of grandiose ideas, and then when push comes to shove, it's like, well, I'm just going to use someone else's pattern. So we'll see. But I certainly enjoy thinking about it, and I certainly enjoyed looking at the quilts in this book. So if you don't want to buy it, then see if you can get your local library to buy it and take a look at it. I think if again, if you like this modern minimalist aesthetic, I think you will enjoy this book. All right, it's time to go pick up Will. So I will see you next time on the next Quilt Diary. Quilt Diary Day 2. It is Wednesday, November 18th, 2015. If I'm going to keep with my 10-day plan, posting episodes every 10 days, I need to get going because I need to post it tonight. I'll try it. I'll try. We'll see. If not, first thing in the morning, I promise. All right. So what I'm working on, first of all, I'm actually doing a little bit of knitting. It's sad knitting. My editor, Caitlin, her dad died this weekend, and he's older. He was 84. I think he had had some issues with diabetes, but it was still unexpected. So I'm knitting her some socks because socks are comforting. So that is, I learned about Caitlin's dad's death on Monday, so I'm working on the first sock. I hope to have them done by this weekend. I decided I needed to go ahead and write the note and mail the note, and then I can send the socks later. So doing a little sad knitting, but also working on this table runner. I bought a kit from Common Threads. Is that where I bought it from? Connecting Threads. Connecting Threads. It's very cute. It's the snowflake quilt. I have a link to the show notes. I may take a picture of, I don't have, I'm just cut out pieces, and you don't need to see pictures of my pieces, but I can take a picture of the Xerox they sent me, with a picture of the finished table runner on it. Now, here's just a little bit of Frances Brain at work. I sat down Sunday to cut out the pieces. So what I got in the kit was the lengths of fabric for me to cut into pieces. I got what I'm going to call a glossary of the fabrics that come in the kit that I'm using for the table runner, and then the pattern itself. And on the first page of the pattern, you get your cutting instructions. Now, here's the thing, and I think this is a little funky, but when you look at the glossary, you see that your fabrics are faux burlap cherry, pixie hearts cherry, gooseberries white, faux Battenberg lace white on white, gooseberries cherry, and so on and thus. So that's good. Okay, so and all the fabrics were in the kit, all good. And then I go over to the cutting instructions. First one, red burlap. Okay, that's going to be the faux burlap cherry, of course. The second one, red tiny hearts print. Well, the thing is, that name does not correspond with any of the names on the fabric glossary. So, but there is the pixie hearts cherry. There's also, though, the pixie hearts white. So when they say red tiny hearts print, are they talking about the print that's red with white hearts? Or the print that is a white background with red hearts. Which one are they talking about? And so I sat down and I looked, you can kind of look at the picture and tell. And so I made little notes. And then I realized that on both the glossary and the cutting instructions, they actually both refer to fabric one, fabric two, fabric three, and those do coordinate. So I hadn't quite noticed that, and that would have probably made life easier for me if I had noticed it. But I still think it's a little funky, and I guess it's possible that whoever wrote the pattern just had an idea in mind about what fabrics might be used, but not the specific fabric names. I don't know. I don't know. But really, for people like me, they need to be real, everything needs to match on both the cutting instructions and the glossary, or well, we kind of lose it and start complaining and then feel stupid when we realized, oh, there's an obvious solution here, fabric one, fabric two, fabric three. Anyway, it's fun to cut. When I do, here's the thing. Well, this will lead me into, I was listening to the Crafty Planner podcast, episode 36, with a quilter named Zach Foster. Zach Foster, according to his bio, is a teacher and improvisational quilter living in Brooklyn, New York. And Sandy, who hosts Crafty Planner podcast, says, I learned about him through his Kickstarter campaign for a long arm machine. His videos were outstanding and work inspiring. So I thought, well, this sounds good. I'll listen to it. And he seems like a darling man. And I thought it was interesting. He decided he wanted to be a long armor, and so that's what he did. He raised the money for the machine. I think this was his partner's idea on Kickstarter. And they live in a small apartment in Brooklyn, and the machine is in their bedroom. They rearrange the bedroom furniture to fit the machine in, and that is probably what will break up the relationship in the long run. But in the short run, how nice of his partner to be so supportive. But he was ta so he's an improvisational quilter, and what he was talking about was when he started out as a quilter, he used patterns, and now he doesn't at all. And he sees one of the big differences between using a pattern to quilt and not is that when you use a pattern, you make all your choices for the quilt up front. You choose the pattern, and then you go choose your fabric. Once those choices are made, if you are strictly following the pattern, that's it for choice making, right? That's it for decisions, right? From there on, you're following the instructions. Now, if you're improvising, you are constantly making choices and decisions for the quilt all the way through. So they're like almost at two different ends of the spectrum, right? All the choices up front, all the choices all the way through. And I was thinking about that. Thinking about one, I have these ideas that one day I will do more improv quilting. And sometimes I do. And I like, excuse me, my computer's coming back on. My computer's being funky. It's like I like the Virginia Family Wolf, the whole 15 minutes of play and messing around and making your own fabric. And I think that's kind of thing is kind of good for me to do. And although I am a very process person and that I so much enjoy the process, it's harder for me to enjoy the process if there's no end in sight, if I don't have a definite thing goal that I'm working toward. And sometimes I think it's good not to have a goal, to be just playful. So, but the fact is at this point, I'm not an improvisational quilter. I am a pattern girl. And I like patterns. And I should say, Zach was not being derogatory about people who quilt using patterns at all, just two different things. But it made me think, one, really, just, you know, why do I like patterns? Well, I like having a lot of the choices made for me. I like, of course, choosing my fabrics. It was interesting to get a kit. I think this is the first time I've gotten a kit. I think it is. No, not, I take that back. My mom and I don't think either of us have finished our block of the month quilt that we started. It's been a 2 or 3 years now since we did our block of the month, and that comes with fabric. That those are block kits. So this table runner is the only second time I've invested in a kit. And it's kind of fun. I don't actually love the faux burlap, but I know it will look good. It will look fine, and I'm not worried about it. But I like choosing fabrics. I know this can be a very fraught part of the process for a lot of people, but you know, my thing is trust yourself. Go to your local fabric shop where someone can really help you, and that's, I always feel thankful to have Thimble Pleasures, because the people there have been so, so helpful in helping me, and not, you know, and sometimes helping me make more surprising choices, also just helping me develop as helping me trust my own intuition, because I think oftentimes I have a good sense of what's needed. But obviously, when you're working with someone who's very familiar with the fabric that they carry, it's fun, that give and take and that moving toward the exact right fabric, or a fabric that falls within the parameters of really, really good. It's fun to do that with someone else, and it's very helpful to do that with someone else, to play off somebody else. So I'm happy for that. So I do like choosing fabrics and thinking that through. And but I like having instructions. And you know, at this point, I'm not a math person. And although, yes, I've talked a lot recently about how guilty I'm feeling that I've not done much with EQ7. And I think that for me, also in the realm of play, also in the realm of needing to give myself a little time to mess around. It's been a really busy year. It's been a particularly busy fall. I'm happy to be quilting, quite frankly. I'm happy to, you know, be doing everything that I'm doing. But it's not been a year that's particularly been open to being just messing around. And I hope that, I don't know what the coming year will be like. I know that I'm almost done with the second draft of Birds in the Air. And our hope right now is that we will actually publish it in the spring. We, and I'm talking about me and the man has been doing a ton of research. He's having a really good time. I'm so happy. This is a kind of project that he excels at, trying, figuring stuff out. And he has a background in publishing, and he's just smart about these things. And so we are looking at a print-on-demand model. Obviously, I will keep you updated on this. So that is the hope. Once I finish this draft of Birds in the Air, which should be pretty soon, I will give it to the man for another round of edits. And I will have some free time, which, and this is coming right at the holiday, so this is a good time to have free time. I'll be working on the website as well as just being involved with the heinous mess of getting ready for Christmas. You know me, I love Christmas right at Christmas Day and the following days. But up until that point, it's a little stressful. Anywho, yeah, so there's not been a ton of playtime. I don't know what next year is going to be like. It may be very busy as well, but it's a good busy. Anyway, mostly I am just glad that I've been able to make time to quilt. And patterns are really helpful in that way, because I don't have time right now to make it up by myself or figure it out on my own. And I don't have the skills to do that. Now, I was really pleased when I made the Big Star quilt this spring that I was able, that, you know, I got, that I added things to the pattern. I got to a place with it. where I had followed the pattern, but I wanted something else, and I enhanced the pattern. And that felt like a big deal to me to actually take it once at, bring my own vision to someone else's pattern. I still, on the label, gave them credit, by the way, based on a pattern by so-and-so. I'm being real good with the labels in any event. So right now, I'm pretty happy to be a pattern girl. I also, for me, there's so many great patterns. I mean, there are people who are really good at this. And, you know, and I'm pretty good at words. And I'm good at recognizing things that are visually wonderful. But I'm not sure that my talent is creating visual wonder on my own. I'm better at copying other people's visual wonder. So we'll see. You know, it's a long road, I hope. I hope I've got a lot of time to play with this and keep moving with this. But for right now, I'm happy to be a pattern girl. I'm happy to change patterns. Don't think I'll be changing this table runner. Not a lot of room for change. But, you know, happy to have some confidence to make a pattern more my own. And I'm wondering if you do that as well. Are you a pattern person? Are you an improv person? I think probably most of us are all over the place. Do you change patterns? I know some of you, like Sandy at Quilt Cabana and Tanisha at Crafty Garden Mom, write patterns. I know others of you do as well, but I think of those guys as the ones who are actually not only making up patterns, but selling them. And you look in the magazine, you're like, oh, I know that person. And it's all very exciting. But where are you on the pattern spectrum? I guess that's my question for you. What else do I have to tell you? I think that's it. I will tell you, I am reading a book for my book club called Elizabeth is Missing. I don't have the author in front of me. I'll try to remember to include it in the show notes. I am about 80 pages from being done, and I like it. It's an interesting kind of mystery. The main character is an elderly woman named Maud, who has Alzheimer's, and in fact, over the course of the book, you can feel it getting worse. And there are two mysteries. One, she's looking for her friend Elizabeth, another elderly woman, and she can't find her, but she is also remembering the disappearance of her sister in post-World War II England. It was one of those things when I started, I thought, am I going to be able to get on board with this character? And I found that I really did pretty quickly. So I will put the title in the show notes. And, you know, other than that, as I'm revising Birds in the Air, you know, I tend to be, I know some of you have read my children's books, and it's okay if you haven't. That's not why we're here. But, you know, I tend to be in my own fiction more of a character center writer than a plot centered writer, but I am trying to learn and have spent the last few years really studying plot and how and trying to get better at that. Because of course, to me, the best books are books that have characters that you love, but also have stories that really pull you along. And with Birds in the Air, is, you know, I see it as more popular fiction than literary fiction, which means it has to have a plot that moves. And that's what I've been working on a lot with this revision, is throwing a lot of characters out onto the wayside for a later time. If this works its way into a series, I have lots of characters that I've developed that I took out of the story in order to make the story move. And so I've been reading some writers who I don't actually think are great sentence level writers, but whose books I'm interested in, partly because they are very successful popular fiction. And so I picked up a book by Debbie McComber. And it's a Christmas story. It's an early Christmas story. Also, I can't remember what it's called. And I don't have it. Do I have it here? Yes, because I got it on Kindle because it was cheap. So I'll tell you what it was. So, and you know, here's the thing, is I kind of, up to a point, was really enjoying it. I kind of got past the writing. And her writing's not, okay, it's Trading Christmas by Debbie McComber. And it's not like, yes, there are sentences you're like, that's grammatically incorrect, where's your editor? But you can get to a point where you're just reading along. It's kind of John Grisham's like that. You get to a point where you're just reading along and you just stop worrying about the prose. And so I was really enjoying it. And then I got to the, it almost got to this point where people were happy too quickly. Things resolved themselves too quickly. I probably need to keep going because maybe everything shatters. But I was unhappy with people being so happy, that fast into the novel. I think it's a novella. Anyway, but it was kind of fun, It's kind of fun. It's not good, but it's fun. It's sort of like cozy and light in a good way. So I read that too, and I'm making my Christmas list for books. Keep adding. I think I talked about that last time, so I won't talk about it until I come up with my complete list of Christmas books that Santa Claus will bring me. So, but Elizabeth is missing. Again, I'll put it in the show notes. I have 80 pages left, and it could be a really cruddy 80 pages and make me hate the book. So I can't give it my full, yes, you should read this, but 220 pages in, I'm like still pretty interested and also kind of amazed by what the writer is accomplishing by having a main character with Alzheimer's, and the Alzheimer's over the course of the story is getting worse. And so it almost has this kind of Groundhog Day element to it, if you remember the Bill Murray movie. All right, well, I'm going to finish up because I am trying to get these to be a little bit shorter. And I don't know if I'll be successful on that front at all. But I hope you're having a good quilty week. My plan is again to post this either today, Wednesday, or first thing tomorrow, and then be back 10 days from now, which would get us Monday after Thanksgiving. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving. We're not sure what we're doing yet, either be here or over in Charlotte with the man's family. And either way, we'll have a great time. So I hope you do lots and lots of quilting. Enjoy yourself. Don't worry about Christmas quilts. They're just as good on January 15th. People love them whenever they get them. All right. Until next time, remember, life is short. Quilt first. Bye.